But you were so in love, Frances. I was so jealous because all the guys I hung around with couldn't come up to my kid brother. You were such a mensch. I adored you. Who knew you could be incestuous? In those days, thinking about incest was incest. She laughs. Marilyn and I are like sisters. I tell her my problems. I tell her everything. Did you know she sent me $250 to the Santa Barbara Institute after Bialy and I split? That's not all. And your Spinozist knows it's never all. Actually, she called to tell me you had moved out. And I spoke to Michael. It wasn't a fun call. They both say it's your fault, Barry. Ah, I don't want to hear this. What do you want to hear, rock and roll? They're angry. You asked Michael? Of course. Leave Michael out of this. Kids know things. They're like dogs. They sense bad news. I don't want Michael to know that he knows. Consciousness raising develops the will, even in an angry kid. Well, the good news is that I'm getting a lot of work done. I think I'm ready to start writing. The possibility that Michael believes it is my fault floods my 2020 vision. I wait for her to ask me what I'm writing about, but she's adrift. Franny, I want to say, blinking back tears. It's about optics and the rainbow, heady stuff. Mama would be proud of me. I hope I can sleep tonight, she says. I've become an insomniac. If you hear me stumbling around, don't blame your ritzy accommodations. It has nothing to do with you. She stands up, walks behind me, hugging my shoulders, pressing her lips to the top of my head. You're a good guy, Barry, she whispers into my hair. Always were. Just like Daddy. Not a mean bone in your body. I would feel comforted by this affectionate display did I not detect in it an overture. The truth is, Fanny is just one more. You want to see Marissa. She wears tacky clothing. Fur sleeves, lace boots. She looks exactly the way I looked at that age. You outlandish things. Oh, she's a California blonde, golden girl. A woman of a thousand voices. She does Meryl Streep. She does Bill Cosby. She does a microwave oven. Here, Fanny, Fanny sucks in her cheeks, creates a lot of whooshing sound. Then beats twice narrowly through first place. We laugh. Remember the way I did the neighbors on Gusset Street? And he... And here, she goes right into her old act. It must be 25 years. 4'4" rear, skinny, nervous, Mrs. Schwartzman's list. I bet my family did the pool with a blood run today. On 6th floor front, Frenchie LeBrun rolling her heavy buttocks in front of the He-Man Yugoslavian super. The drain in the kitchen, n'est-ce pas? Coming up before les enfants are coming home from the high school. It's wonderful to get the old routines. We both nurse a little sherry along, warmed by nostalgia. Life is so uncomplicated, man, she says. All these simple problems, I said, like starvation. We owe 4 different grosses for cream cheese. And death at an early age, he was 43. Her eyes leak over to mine. You and I in the ambulance squad for Montefiore, and Mom away at one of her meetings. Is a Christian Science man or Rosicrucians? If I was 19 and you were 17, by Karen on the wrestling. And it was dead before the sea finished ripping out its mouth. Silence, a long silence. That's why I think Alan and I are wasting our time. For God's sake, life is short and Alan's such a slum. Barry, my ex-husband is showing an interest in me again. Took me to Palm Springs for $100 plate dinner. I sat next to the whole Chicago Blackhawk team. We had a long talk, Gil was stuck in line. He never sounds romantic. I always call him that because his first name, Raoul, when he came along, Raoul. Imagine being married to a man whose name you can't pronounce. Alan's so easy. It's been a year and a half with Alan, 3 months of which he's totally his fault, you know, his goddamn fault. The boot falls asleep on the freeway delivering pool supplies. Works like a dray horse. I thought the problem with Bialystok was the opposite. All talk and no money. At least Alan makes a living. I come all this way thinking I'm going to help you. She closes. Barry, would you put me up for a week? I feel so decisive just now. I believe I can get hold of myself here. Alan calls to scold you. Tell him I went up to Boston to look at schools for Karen. Tell him I'm learning to cook vegetarian. Tell him anything. My heart takes a dive. The room is too small. The man is too headstrong. I am too troubled. Events are taking over. But then I remember that ethical practice replaces history. Spinoza had no historicity. Reason and ethics were his universe. We'll talk it over tomorrow night. I've got to go pick up Michael early in the morning, so I'm going to hit the sack. He's old enough to come out by subway. From Queens? He's a kid from the sticks. She smiles at me. He's your one and only now, isn't he? I pull apart the high rise and roll one clattering frame and its blue mattress to the other side of the room. The last thing I hear is Fran getting up to pull on another sweater. In the morning, as I am ready to leave for Michael, she hollers out to me that she's changed her mind. Mrs. Messenger's frigid apartment is no place for my California sister. I'm taking a motel room for tonight at the airport and then I'm going back. This place is an icebox. In the bulk of his navy and red ski parka, Michael looks taller and broader, carrying nothing, no pack on his back, standing alone at the curb on 51st Avenue with bare hands hanging at his side, bareheaded. He looks utterly frozen, which worries me, and older, which stops me. He trots around to the other side of the car and gets in. Leaning across, I throw an arm around his shoulder and hug him. I do not release him immediately. Michael tolerates my hold. Glassman, you're already ahead, I think happily. Dad, he begins promisingly. Your directional is pointing the wrong way. I flick the directional the other way. As I smile my thanks, I notice that a light fuzz is nestling in the dimple of his chin. I'll have to teach you to shave, I think. But where? When? Is my friend here? She's waiting for us in Brooklyn. She wasn't very nice to me on the telephone last night. I don't like being yelled at. She's a neurotic bitch. Well, we're brother and sister. You're not. You just don't give up when you get an idea in your head. You obsess. Is that a new word you learned? That was a club in school for kids whose parents are divorcing. They tell us not to obsess about it. You can obsess about not obsessing. Dad, Pretty fun, actually. Not really. Then why go? He shrugs. Do you know why you do everything you do? Of course, I say immediately. Michael Snickers. The Brooklyn Queens Expressway is lower than the LIE. Merging into one lane, Lincoln standing, hitching forward. I keep the radio on. For a few minutes, we're gabbing like old times, disagreeing about the third quarter of the Super Bowl last weekend. Then silence. Michael is staring at the New York skyline on the other shore of the river. We're almost there, I say, giving the beacon leak. Silence. This used to be an elegant part of Brooklyn. By now, Michael is into a serious sulk, still peering out the window. Champion House is coming to view. Within a few blocks, the neighborhood is run down genteel. Do you want the dump? He finally asks. It's no mansion, but it's not exactly a dump. How many beds? I have a high riser. That's a couch that forms to... God, I know what a high riser is. Okay, we never had one. God, you don't give me credit for very much. Well, how should I know what you know? I'm holding my own. I got a 96 in chem test. I'm even playing tennis. My coach says I have to serve like a son of a bitch. I pull up at the curb in front of the messenger house. Michael, I say, blocking his gesture at the mirror. You are my favorite person in this whole world. I press the toe of my shoe against his sneaker, holding me. Wait. He wiggles his foot, but it's merely a test. He is not trying to escape. By now, the door on Michael's side is hanging open. The kid is abject. Oh, fuck it all, he says through his teeth. I know all about it. And freeze, where he slides out. Dutifully, he pushes the button down to lock the door and slams it. Inside the hall, an opera is thundering from the messenger apartment. I push Michael on up ahead of me. Halfway up, Michael grabs my arm. Dad, I have to tell you something. I stop on the step below him and lean close to his face. Though the music is very loud, I'm sure I hear his heartbeat. He's shouting. I want you to think about coming back home. Mom is making a big mistake with this guy, Donahue. I can't stand Donahue. He pushes Mom around. He laughs at us. Maybe because we're Jewish. I'm not sure. And he's pro-Arab. Besides, he keeps buying us clothes and stuff, as if that would make a difference. Does he spend a lot of time at the house? Mom's face reddens. If you think I'm going to tell you that he stays overnight and you are crazy. All I want you to know is that I hate his guts. But listen, if you don't come home, we'll be all right. We don't need anybody's help, Mom and me. You just go on reading your books. I'd do anything for you. Except come home, right? I run my hands through his hair. Who knows? And another thing that's come up. I believe in Israel, but I'm not sure I believe in God anymore. Deirdre and I have been reading the Old Testament. It's so melodramatic, the way he gets written up. I can't buy all that fire and thunder. To me, God is a different idea. Michael, you have to decide important questions from strength. You're in a weak period just now. Abruptly, the music is gone, and I realize we're screaming. This is no time for fundamentalists, monumental decisions, I whisper, hoping the tranny is not heard, detecting for the first time that I am pleading. I feel like the abominable tree. God, replacement for Tito Domingo's voice, is filling the stairwell, the banister, Michael's dark mop of hair, and I am very vulnerable. Please, I'll think about what you've asked me, I say. And you think about nothing, okay? Nothing at all. Anyway, I doubt that Bob Donahue was an anti-Semite. I've known him all my life, the bastard. Think I don't know what I stand up when I see him, Michael says. He is one miserable being, and I am another. Together we climb the rest of the way up to face Franny, who still in her bathrobe at the kitchen table is also huddled inside an old overcoat of mine. She's having a cup of coffee and doing yesterday's crossword puzzle in the Times. I haven't quite rallied after Michael's last-minute confession on the staircase. He, however, is all over the apartment, flinging open cabinets, looking out the window, cranking the casement handles, popping on the high-riser. Dust escapes. I ask him not to do that. He allows his aunt to kiss him, but it's an effort for me to follow the dialogue between aunt and nephew. All I can think about is Dunham springing anti-Israel, anti-Semitic innuendos against my kid. I should kill him. All those unrequited bar mitzvahs, watching his Jewish chums making successes out of themselves at 13, pocketing their checks in the pockets of new clothes. Our bar mitzvah since probably drove him nuts. I see him and his three macho brothers, four moon-faced chucks in hand-me-down uniforms from Catholic school, patched navy elbows, and high-water plaid pads 2 inches above the ankle. He doesn't even know how fucking anti-Semitic he is, the bastard. It takes sensitive baby-faced Michael to fucking know it, to really know it, as only a Jew knows it. And now, how can she be so insensitive to what's going on? She, the normative Jew, the defender of the faith. They need me. I believe it, as I believe in substance, and in light thinking, and in IMAX. Even Marilyn deserves better. Though she was always impetuous. On July 9th, the bus stopped on the Grand Concourse, Gordon Road. She foretold our marriage. Heavy dark hair swinging, an arm thrown around the belt of my pants, fingers hooked in my belt loops as we boarded. We tossed our boards together into the hopper, symbolizing the joint casting of our lots. And she looking out the bats all the way up the concourse as a small piece of the newspapers had warned of an invasion of bats from Sullivan County. I was a blind risk, but she took it, fit the bullet, as they say now. Said, I was not like the other guys, knew instantly she could trust me with her life. So what if you are a universalist? In my heart, I believe you've come fire, earthquake, or wild dogs, that you will rush in and save me first. Within 2 years, I had cured Marilyn of an irrational fear of German shepherds by instilling in her a belief in the oneness of all the beings in the universe. Fortunately, I was never put to the test. Until now. Michael needs me, but rushing to his side now would itself be an evil thing. A good thing that prevents us from enjoying a greater good is in truth an evil. The thought of neglecting him, however, constricts my chest. I don't cough, but I can't breathe. I'm not tiredly out of these physical crises. In a few seconds, I'm aware of a paralysis in the room. Everyone goes into slow motion. Michael looking toward me, Franny gliding to the sink and toward me, water, drink it, someone's pounding my back. I'm hanging from the side of a boat, from the wing of a jet, but I don't let on. I'm arguing with the rabbi that substance is God, is the end self until I am breathless. And then it passes. I breathe. Michael's hand strokes my back. Franny begins to scold. You're neglecting yourself. Continue, Barry. Go see your doctor. And for Michael, wrecking his beautiful head. You mean you still haven't gone? I've been doctoring the soul. It is like doctoring the penis. The dread of depression and insomnia is like the dread of impotence and an enlarged prostate. If we live long enough, we all get it. To borrow Michael's word, we can obsess on either one. I vow to submit this week to a physical exam, but I do not vow perform a rescue operation for Michael. There is no such institution as daycare for souls. No one else into whose professional arms what confer over one's infant soul on the way to work. Did I need my soul in the storm? Would I miss it? How childlike was my soul? I suppose, without it, my business acumen would improve. At least according to Fetty's theory, that too much heart renders me a pushover as a businessman. Fetty's one's assets a good credit rating. Italian shoes. Is it a wonder I'm still in the middle of a phase? But is a passion for truth truth? Michael, I say again, I promise to go to the doctor. And you must promise me something. Not to expect me or any to make your life perfect. Franny says, I'll tell Karen and Larissa to give you a call, Mike. No, that's Michael says. Your mother can take care of herself, Michael. We girls don't fall apart without a man in the house. Leave my mother out of this. She's none of your fucking business. She's my fucking business. Your business right now, Michael, is to get good marks in school, learn to be tolerant of your dad, and play a game, soccer, tiddlywinks, anything, to get rid of all the free-floating anger inside of you. Michael's breathing like a volcano. Franny, said he, I just received my big coat boxer's robe hanging unevenly about her. I hastily suggest that Michael and I pick up some lunch and bring it back to the room. And at the same time, I tell Fran, I have a couple of errands to run. Then I call Phillies to make sure the relief optometrist the agency was to send has arrived. Is a woman to it, Phillies says with glee. All bones, but very shrewd. You'll see what we're doing here together, Barry. You can stay home and bet. He's exhilarated. She is 100%. Is she a kid, I ask, fearful that I may have given a youngster too much responsibility? Who can tell? Under her lab coat, she wears a t-shirt. Baby's look at her. A pause. Not a kid. 33, 34. Great. Put her on, I say. Her name is Linda Kemp. She's polite, old business. I remind her about the duplicate file we keep for soft contact lens prescriptions. She says, she and Phineas have already had a brisk morning. I thank her. Michael's coming out of the toilet. What a dump, he says miserably, pointing to his splashed pants and wet sneakers. The runners know how to turn things on. Gently, Franny says. I think that Michael is getting ready for soccer. Come on, I said Michael, covering a mean little laugh, and we're on our way walking to Flatbush Avenue for deli sandwiches. Michael starts her punch with both hands in his pocket. I am glad to be outdoors. On the block away from the park, a row of recent apartment buildings changes the skyline of the neighborhood. The smell of lint and soap cleanses the sidewalk in the bright Saturday air. The hum of washers and dryers propels us along as we walk by the vented basement windows of these new brick buildings. Both the stately Brooklyn homes and the new apartment buildings are unfamiliar to Michael, for he grew up in a tract house in Bayside. A high ranch, the entire living quarters on one floor, a flight above a rec room at basement level. From the living room, there is a view of the expressway. The sanctuary downstairs with no view, whatever, is what I miss most, my lab, my library. Though at this moment I cannot recollect the hours, the years I spent there, Jack calls myself, except those last days hiding like a wounded bear as mate and cub carried on a dog without me. I suppress all desire to put demands on Michael during this walk. And the trick is, I am glad he does not put demands on me. Instead, the mild January Saturday does its work. We walk unhurriedly, happy to be breathing in and out. Soon we are both swinging our arms, relieved to be out of range of Fanny's one-woman fiery squad. over the kinds of sandwiches it is possible to get at the deli. A sign of his new adolescence is that Michael enjoys talking about food. He licks his lips. With each hand, a pastrami on rye, and split a turkey and roast beef combo, mustard and Sprite, heavy on the pickle. Pretty soon, I know that fathers desire happiness for their sons, and sons desire equality with their fathers. If men are governed by reason, they will seek nothing for themselves that they do not desire for their sons. Although I had planned to reintroduce Franny and Michael to Nathan and I understand what an error such an upping would be at this time. Add to the giant E, eat. Error. Equality. And enter Moscow. Pick up Franny and eat our sandwiches in the park. It's a balmy afternoon. Franny has fished a paperback out of her bag, and in the 60-degree sun is serenely reading, "Smart Cookies, Don't Grumble," a modern woman's guide to living and loving her own life. At the foot of a boulder, adjacent to a baseball field, Michael and I discover a half-dead pigskin, which we knock around and gain a touch football. I feel like one of the surviving Kennedys on the family conference.